Craig.
Yeah.
I'm about to taste test one of my souvenirs from Alabama.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Kay gave me some Bushwhacker coffee.
Bushwhacker coffee.
Yeah, which is named after like the Bushwhacker drink, I believe, at the Bama, the floor of Bama.
Oh, is it going to be taste like the Bushwhacker
coffee? I don't know. We're going to taste it right now.
Because the Bushwhacker drink was delicious. You sip up, Josh.
Come yeah, on. It smells, first of all, it smells like coconut.
Oh.
That makes sense because that's kind of what it tastes like. Was. Yeah, here we go.
Yeah,
ready?
Yeah.
Mm. Ooh, that's tasty.
Mm.
Oh, you know what?
What?
I bet you they're really proud of their coffee down there in Alabama. Geez. They're proud of it. They're proud of their Bushwhacker coffee.
I'm going to make this the start.
Do you love to travel?
Do you love road trips?
Do you love finding hidden treasures in towns all over the USA? Hi, I'm Joshua.
And I'm Craig. Welcome to Treasures of Our Town, the podcast that explores unique and charming towns scattered throughout the United States.
Join us as we venture into some of the country's most intriguing destinations, uncovering hidden gems and local secrets along the way.
On today's episode, we're going part two. That's right. Part one was last episode. Part two now of our time in Alabama and the Gulf Shores and Orange Beach, Josh.
We're going. Back to Bama.
Maybe
that's what this episode should be called, Back to Bama.
That is a good title. Normally for you, Josh, normally you have to wait a couple of weeks or whatever for you to actually work out a title, but you know.
I know. It's nice to get it right on the spot.
Back to Bama it is. There you go. You heard it here live, guys. Josh, what have you been up to, mate, since we spoke last? It was like, what was it now, 2 weeks ago?
It's 2 weeks. It's been two weeks since we've seen each other, and it's not the same. It's not the same to just see you on a screen as it is to see you across a beautiful living room at our beautiful, beautiful cabin that we spent much time in Bama Rama.
Very, very true, mate. Very true.
You know, I've been back to real life.
You have?
Back to real life.
Back to work,
back to work. Yeah. back to work, editing some of the footage of all the fun that we had in Alabama. Yeah. And so I don't have a whole lot to report because I've been just kind of back to real life. However, you've been, oh my gosh, nothing is normal in your life now as you're traveling about.
No. Well, last time we spoke, Josh, as you said, we're across the lounge room from each other and we'd look out the window and we saw that beautiful sort of lake area, etc. as well, with the pier going out and the beautiful serene. It was foggy as well in the morning. Right now I'm looking at a Bass Pro Shop in a parking lot, so there you go, out my window. I'm currently located right on the border, because I love borders, you know that. I'm right on the border of Tennessee and Virginia, so there you go. That's where I am right now.
You're heading back north again.
Northeast as well. Yeah. So since we spoke, Josh, I have driven through into Texas. I then flew from Texas to California for a big, big Munzee weekend events. Josh,
awesome.
Rob from Munzee, and Lou, his lovely wife as well, they hosted me over there in California. I got to walk up behind the Hollywood sign as well, because you can walk up.
I'm so jealous. Yeah,
it's really, really cool.
I can't believe we didn't do that last year when we were there, but we didn't have time.
We didn't have time. There was just so much. And not only that, like it's a bit of a hidden path. Like it's a very secretive way to go up there. But anyway.
My understanding, though, is that there's a Munzee that tells you where the secret gate is.
There is. There absolutely is. There's a Munzee that tells you this is the secret gate. So there you go.
Is that what it's called? Did Rob name it the secret gate?
Yes.
Oh, funny.
Yeah.
So there's a tip for you. If you want to go to the Hollywood sign, download Munzee, find the Munzee that says behind the secret gate and get there.
Exactly. It's a bit of a walk. Like it's a bit of a hill too. It's about half an hour walk up to the top. But I'm telling you, Josh, it is 100% worth it. And you know, Rob, he's got his other YouTube channel as well, Beer Snob Rob, because he loves to rate beers. Josh, we took up a beer and shared a beer together at the top in the morning. It was too, so it was lovely.
I love that.
Just after sunrise.
Oh, that's so cool. I have FOMO. I'm so jealous. Why? I could have came along, but gosh, for me, two weekends in a row, I don't know if I could have swung that one.
I know, I know. Even our Airbnb, Josh, our Airbnb, it had every vantage point that you could see from the Airbnb just overlooked the Hollywood sign. Like, and it was right there. You could almost touch it, Josh.
I saw the pictures.
Yeah.
I also saw that it had a billiards table as well. We could have played cutthroat. I wanted to play cutthroat so bad in Alabama.
You did. So, yeah, that's what I've been up to. And, one other thing. And I lost my voice. So, lucky we had to record this a little bit later because I lost my voice. Where did I lose my voice? I lost it in the Viper Room in Hollywood.
Oh, my gosh. That's so cool.
Do you know much about the Viper Room, Josh? Not many people do know about the Viper Room.
It's a music venue, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, but like underground, dirty, dungeonous. A lot of history, a lot of rock history, etc. There as well. So, River Phoenix, that's where he died.
Oh wow!
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's where two other famous people. I can't think. Actually, one of them is Australian. That's where they overdosed as well. So,
oh wow!
Yeah. Was in there. In actual fact, they told us as we walked in because it's all old school. Rob and I were, 40s, and we were the youngest there. Josh, the youngest there.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
So it hasn't
old school.
It hasn't really. Gone with the times where it's kind of aging a bit.
The crowd is aging along with the venue. Exactly right.
That's very interesting because that is not what is happening to like First Avenue, which is the most popular music venue in Minneapolis where, where Prince's Purple Rain was filmed. It still has young people.
No, not the Viper Room, mate. Not the Viper Room. And,
interesting.
And even the bands themselves, the bands are all in their 50s, the band players. And there was one guy there who was a special guest because apparently he's really quite big in Hollywood. He was playing guitar and sung backup as well. He only did two songs because he's 87 years of age. And he's still in Hollywood playing the guitar live on stage. Man, that is incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Well, that sounds really cool.
Yes.
But now you're back. You're heading up to the Midwest. You'll probably go through the Midwest. Well, not really. You're going to go up through Virginia, West Virginia.
Pennsylvania, back to Jersey. And then I'll come Midwest after that. So, yeah.
But the plan is to come to Midwest next as we have Muncie Mania coming up in May.
Correct. Exactly right. So fantastic. I'll be there for that in May, guaranteed. 100%, mate. I'll be there for that. So
I'll have to be ready to show you some of the sites again that I missed the first time around.
And then after that, I'll be heading a bit further west and going down Wyoming through to Geo Woodstock.
Ooh. We might have some news about Geo Woodstock soon. It hasn't been confirmed, but something exciting. Myself and Craig will be there.
We'll be there. Yeah, 100%.
In Flagstaff and the Memorial Day weekend of May.
Exactly. So,
but we got to talk about Alabama. It was a show that had so much stuff that we couldn't fit it into one show. So we have part two of our experience in the Gulf Shores of Alabama. Mm-hmm. Craig, do you want to just review? I would suggest if you haven't listened, you should listen to the first episode. Yeah. Just stop right now. Go back and listen to the first episode. Mm-hmm. But maybe, Craig, we can review a little bit of what we talked about.
Well, a quick review is that you flew into Pensacola in Alabama. I picked you up. You got your first geocache in Alabama ever on the actual sign saying Sweet Home Alabama as well. And that was at the Floribama location down on the peninsula. So
spent three times at, three I different know. Visits.
I know.
We really like that place.
We get back to the last visit, I think, was the best, to be honest with you. Even though the second one was good with the geocaching event, I think the last one, which we speak to about at the end of this episode itself, is the best, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah.
And then after that, we booked into our cabins at the Gulf Shore. This is a beautiful place to stay, gorgeous, in Gulf Shores in Orange Beach. And again, shout out to Kay as well. She organized that for us as well from the Orange Beach Tourism. Well done.
And we'll talk a little bit more about that in this episode too.
Yes, we will. We will. And then we moved into Thursday. We spoke about the bikes, the push bike hire. Josh, remember the push bike hire?
Yes, at the Gulf Shore State Park, the geocaching wonderland. Perfect for a geocaching vacation.
Absolutely is. Absolutely is. Then we went to Floribama for the second visit for the scavenger hunt as well. We did a lot of high favorited geocaches as well, which they will be seen over the next, I'm going to say, 6 to 12 months on your TikTok and YouTube in shorts.
I have 30 days of shorts
Non-stop.
In the hopper, and I still haven't got all the shorts out from my last trip to Gilby in October. So I have 30 days of shorts. You're going to see more detailed videos of that on TikTok and Instagram and also YouTube. But also you'll see high level. You can go right now to my YouTube channel right now. You'll see high level. We have two really great, well-edited highlight videos of this whole trip. So it'll be in the links below in the show notes for this episode.
Yes. Of course. Now that was great videos, Josh, too. They were lots and lots of fun. And as editing goes, you'll find that I filmed over an hour and 25 minutes worth of footage, and I managed to edit it down to two sort of 10 to 12 minute episodes. There you go.
Well done. That should tell you how much stuff that we felt worthy was worthy of being filmed.
It really
was. So
it really
that just tells you how much sights and sounds that there were to capture there.
We went to the Swiger Art Design Studio as well. Then we had the Cove Bar and Grill. The stuffed avocado was delicious. And then we actually had my favorite part of the whole trip, Josh, was actually the Geo Break number one, which is the Track Family Amusement Park, where literally I watched you spin out in front of me like not once, twice, three, but 15 times spinning out in front of me.
Fun.
That was loads of fun.
I love a good go-kart.
And then we ended that day itself, and that's on the Thursday only, at the bonfire with the actual geocaching community of that area, the Gulf Shores. They are a great community too. The two Lauras.
Totally.
Yeah, for them. Yeah.
So then we ended the night. We ended the night with more seafood.
Oh, that's right. We did too, unbeknownst to Tim. But anyway.
Yeah. You know what they always say? Don't get seafood unless you can see the sea.
That's true. I'm on a seafood diet at the moment, Josh. I just seafood and eat it, just saying.
Yeah, love that.
Anyway, moving on, what else did we get up to? This is now brand new. We moved into the Friday session now as well for the 4 days.
We woke up Friday morning, and I just so appreciate traveling with you and Tim because, this is just a tip. Like, have people that you travel with, just be flexible. And you guys are kind of always looking to me like, what are we going to do? And I kind of, lay out, I think we should maybe do this, this, and this. And you guys, great. Yeah. You guys are so easygoing.
Yep.
And so I thought, there were so many caches, so many geocaches with high favorite points that we had to check out. I mean, after all, it was a geocaching trip. After all, our mission was to highlight geocaching in the Gulf Shores. And let me just say, it did not disappoint. No. As I said in the last episode, the state park that we were in, just there, we were having power trails. And if you don't know what power trails is, it's just geocache after geocache on bike trails, really accessible, where you get those higher bikes. I would say, did you catch that?
I did.
I said higher bike.
Higher bike. I know.
I didn't say higher push bike. But hey. I'm learning. I'm learning to speak Australian.
Crikey.
I would say in the state park, there were probably well over 200 geocaches just in this state park alone. Yeah. That should tell you how big the state park is. But throughout the Gulf Shores, the actual Gulf Shores proper, Orange Beach, and there's another city there. Can you remind me of the others? There, it's like three cities.
Yeah.
Well, there was also little towns
a
little bit to the north.
Well. Yeah, that's right.
And actually the main event was in a little town to the north. So we just hit up several geocaches, mostly gadget caches. Craig, are there any caches that we found that really, like in your brain, it's been 2 weeks.
I know.
I'm putting you on the spot here, that really like stood out to you. that is like, wow, unique. I've never seen that before. Anything that you're like, whoa, that's really interesting.
There was a couple, Josh, that stood out to me, but they stood out to me because it was, again, for me, Josh, it's always more about the experience than the actual hide or the cash container, okay, et cetera. And the experience, yes, was enhanced for me through you, basically, and through Tim as well, but through you. Now, Josh, we said this last episode that a lot of these were inspired birdhouses, et cetera, from your Germany and your videos,
yeah,
in Germany. There was lots of those. But my favorite part of the whole trip, I will say this, was several times and several occasions, you, Josh, you were looking around and you were stumped and you were like looking around the bird box and you were going, that's a fake hinge. That's the first thing you look for. And you're trying to teach me how to do it. All the while, I'm thinking to myself, Josh, you found one exactly like this before in Germany.
I know.
You just have to just twist it upside down and you're like, oh, that's right, I found one like this in Germany. So watching the penny drop like in your mind as you did it, right, for me, that was my favorite part of the entire trip, mate, to be honest with you.
So. Well, what I really appreciate people that, you know, see some of my videos and take ideas from my videos, but I love how they put their own spin on it. You know, yes, it's one thing, Craig, to like say, oh, I've seen this before, but it's another thing to like actually look at a bird box or a geocache and not realize that it is something that I have done before, because, yes, but they've put their own little twist on it,
yes,
to make it a little bit different. I'm like, and it makes me question, like, I don't know if I ever have seen this before. And then after I figure out the solution, I'm just like, I've seen the similar concept,
yes,
to this. So,
yeah,
I mean, it's a testament to, I think, geocaching video content, which when I started it doing it 13 years ago, there was a lot more people out there, a little bit more of an old school mentality where they were really worried about spoilers.
Yes.
And just to know that most of the places that I've gone to film geocaches, there are places that a lot of people, like a huge percentage of people, will never get to.
Exactly.
So the fact that somebody takes an idea that they see on one of my videos and puts it in their own community, it, mm-hmm, spreads the joy of geocaching so much wider. And so to see that actually happen, yeah, before my eyes when we were, you know, finding many of these geocaches. And there, let's be honest, there were some really original ideas out there.
They really were. But,
yeah, that's just really cool. So
yeah,
a couple that stood out to me. So San Marcos, our buddy. He's our buddy.
Yeah, he is.
He's probably listening.
Yeah.
San Marcos, he is the guy that was sort of heading up all of the Bamarama events. Mm-hmm. He self-confesses, like, I'm not really a gadget cache builder.
No.
Which is totally fine.
Yeah.
But he's taken some concepts and did really creative things that I've never seen before. Like, his type of geocaches are the ones that you open and you just get a good chuckle out of it.
Yes. And so, I know the one you're going to talk about too, I think.
Well, there's a couple of them. One really, like, one was like a jump scare. So there's a video, yes, of
that jump scare,
a typical light pole cache, and you open up, it's like a little ammo box, and you open it up and a little spider comes out and like scares you.
Yep.
And it's so funny. That video went semi-viral on TikTok and people are saying in the comments, I dropped my phone. I jumped. Like, it's making other people jump, which is really funny. Good job, San Marcos. You not only scared me, but scared TikTok. but there's one. So if you don't, you know, if you're listening to this and you're not a geocacher, you might not get this, but a lot of people like sometimes critique, you know, like small geocaches, especially if they're in pill bottles,
mm-hmm,
like it looks like it could be mistaken. They're like, oh, it could be mistaken for drugs.
Drugs. Oh, no.
Yeah. That's a good place. That's a good place to hide your drugs. Like, that's what people,
it's
like, especially
muggles. It's a drug drop. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. What is this? A drug dropping activity?
Yeah, exactly.
And so you open up one of his geocaches, which is in a pill bottle. And what's inside of it but little pill capsules?
Yeah, actual little capsules themselves. And if people don't know out there in terms of geocaching land, to actually find a geocache, you can find it with your eyes, but you must sign a logbook. And so you then had to open up all these capsules, Josh, because there was only one logbook in one of the capsules.
Oh, God.
So that's the fun in it too, you see. So that was the whole, that's the geocaching fun. It's like, wow, like, this is excitement. Like, oh, yeah, all these pills. Now what do I do? I've got to sign the logbook. Where's the logbook? And so you got to find the logbook. So, yes.
So we found this pill geocache like on a sign, and we're like, okay, I wanted to film it. And by the way, what I'm just waiting for when I put this out on social media, for especially on TikTok, for my video to, and my channel to get banned because I'm showing how to drop drugs. I'm almost tempted not to put it anywhere. Out.
I know.
You know,
you're worried, Josh. You're scared.
Well, it TikTok doesn't give you the options to like warn people. Explain. Like if I put it on YouTube, I can click the like drug use, or there's a box you can check.
There is, okay.
And then you're like at least warning them that like there's some sort of, it could be misconstrued as blah blah blah. Anyway, exactly. I don't know. I'm worried about putting it up. But the here's the funny thing. Right next to where the geocache was, there was a church, and we're like, let's film it over by this church. It was a gazebo.
It was
a church. So there's three guys going through drugs in a church gazebo.
Yep. Opening up these little capsules and just to try and find a bit of piece of paper, a piece of paper after all that. That's all we're after. So I know. Yeah, and then we're all giggling like schoolgirls after we found it too. So let's, you know, think of that as, put that in the equation as well. Three or four, including Tim, grown men giggling like schoolgirls, going through these, you know, capsules themselves under a gazebo of a church. That's just, yeah, you can't get any better than that, Josh. You can't.
It was funny. I found a lot, you know, we've both, you've found over 10,000 caches. I'm almost to 8,000 and I've never seen anything like that. I've seen that style, like open up the Easter egg or open up the Altoid tins, but I've never seen open up the Excedrin.
Exactly. Well, Josh, after all that geocaching, we were quite hungry.
Oh,
quite
my famished. Gosh.
And we got told, one of our Patreons, a great cachers, a big shout out to you, thank you so much, told us about this lunch place that we should visit, and we did. And again, it did not disappoint. Let's just say the name of this place first, by itself. Go. Oh,
the name is just great.
What's the name?
The Whacked Out Wiener.
and as you go in, Josh, you know how places like, I know Bucky's, for instance, you know, the gas stations, as you walk in, they go, welcome to Bucky's. You know, everyone screams out. As you walk in, they scream out a welcome. It happens in a lot of places in the US. In this place here, you walked in and they said, get your wiener out and we'll whack it. You know, like, wow, okay. That was their greeting? That was their greeting as you walked in?
Oh, wow. I don't remember that. But no,
you were too busy looking. Because you know why I don't remember? Guys, just to let you know now, visual this. Joshua walks in. He screams this, you know, welcome to Whacked Out Wiener, whatever it was. But Josh, your eyes went directly, they had a selfie booth there with like an actual big wieners, dress wieners, and they're not one, two, or three, but they had like five wieners. So the whole family can get dressed up as wieners and get photos in this photo booth area. And it wasn't just a photo booth, Josh. It was a photo wall, you know?
Right. So, yeah. Oh, it was cool. And let's back up a second. We haven't actually said, if you can't tell, it was a hot dog place.
Oh, yeah, a hot dog place. Yeah, of course. Americans, they call their hot dogs wieners. So that
I love myself a good hot dog.
Mm-hmm.
I think I had three Chicago dogs. You could get all kinds of different types types of wieners. It was like, you know, it's like a, you know what, they have like Subway or Chipotle where you can like, you get a sandwich and you can like customize it. Well, that's how it was. It was a hot dog place that you could customize it however you wanted.
Yeah. We went with the stock standard. So not the stock standard. I'm talking about, we went with the options, what they told us, sort of thing. So yeah, go from there.
They had suggestions. So I got a Chicago dog. Did you get a chili dogs? What did you get?
No. I think I got a Floridian dog, because mine actually had mac and cheese on it as well as bacon bits too. So that's what I mean. That's the mac and cheese on a hot dog. That got me. That hooked me.
I want to go back. and we have pictures. If you go on the, I put it as a story. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put the Whacked Out Wiener photos. I'll actually put all the behind the scenes photos. We don't talk about our Instagram very much.
No, we don't.
So Treasures of Our Town Instagram, I will put a photo set up mm-hmm. so you can look and see, because we the picture of us in our wiener costumes, our hot dog costumes, priceless.
And Tim joined in as well. Don't forget, joined in as well. And Tim's like 6 foot two, so he's the biggest wiener out of the three of us. Let's just be honest. But
good old Neil.
Yep. Yes, Neil. That's an inside joke. So that was delicious. Absolutely delicious. But I will say this: they do have available, like you can have a sides available with it too. And they had all different sides, whether you can have a bag of chips or I had the chili, Josh, and maybe I shouldn't have had the chili, just saying.
Well, I had baked beans, so maybe I shouldn't have had the, if you get my drift.
Exactly.
The gas was flowing. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then we headed north. Craig.
Yes.
I was so proud of you. Mm-hmm. You hosted the only Munsey event in the world on that weekend.
On that weekend, exactly right. Now, Josh, we headed north to a town called Foley. It was.
Yeah, that's right.
Foley. That's the town north. It's in Foley. It was at a dog park. Now, it had been raining as well. Now, if you've never been to a Munsey event, it's very different, don't you think, Josh? A Munsey event is very different to a geocaching event.
Yes, they're very Munsey events are very focused on playing the game during the event, mostly. Usually.
Especially
where geocaching events are a little bit more like we're taking a break from playing the game and we're going to talk to each other.
Yeah.
That's typically.
But the difference is because Munsey itself, you can be sitting down at a Munsey event and having cards literally virtually placed on your head. And so you must cap all these cards that are coming through. So that's the reason for it as well. But we then go for a little walk around the sort of dog park area with umbrellas out because it was raining, but that didn't stop us. I had 10 people in total there, Josh, which is not too bad for a Munsey event.
Well, yeah, that doesn't seem like, you know, if you're a geocacher, that doesn't seem like a whole lot, but the fact it was a little bit impromptu. We hadn't, it didn't get posted till a couple of weeks before the event.
Yeah.
And it seems like this area, there's pockets of areas in the world that are really like Munsey saturated. This is a little bit, I would say
Munsey
right now. It's a little bit, I'd say not Munsey, a whole lot of players, Munsey players.
Munsey light. We'll call it Munsey light.
Yeah. I think geocaching is
the predominant game,
prominent location based game, but it was great. We had, San Marcos, the person who led the whole event.
I know.
Show up. He was like, I'm going to check this out. I'm going to re-download the app. And, we enjoyed educating him on it and all the changes and all the the things about it. So that was, it was great. It was a bummer that it was raining, but you know what? We still did it. We got a badge.
Still got badges. Still got cake. Yeah. Still got all the good things as well. And Josh, I will say this, and that is there's not that many players. There's a lot of players out there, more players out there that we call coexist. In other words, they play geocaching and they play Munsey.
Right.
So there's a lot of us out there that do that, but a lot of them, Josh, are secret Munseyers because they go, I just play on the side, whatever.
They're not, but they play a lot.
They're not as vocal as you and I.
I know.
And they don't really turn up to events. So there was there was going to be four or five other Munsey players that were capping Munseys around the area but didn't actually turn up to the event. So,
well, they were probably very focused on geocaching and most people are traveling with other people probably are not Munsey players. So it's just like, I can't really ask my crew to go to a Munsey event when they don't even play I think, I think that was happened, but it brought a little bit of geolocation variety.
Exactly. And variety is the spice of life. Let's be honest. So,
yeah. And actually I broke away while you guys were setting up the little flags. If you don't know, if you've ever been to a geocache or a Munsey event, you set up these little flags with QR codes. So you can do like a bunch in the park for the event. And I was like, I'm going to go over here and find a geocache. I couldn't find the geocache, but then I just escaped and I walked the whole downtown of Foley and I did it like probably 10 Adventure Lab stages.
I thought you did. But mind you, I will say before you even arrived, the night before you arrived, I actually did those Adventure Labs myself. So yeah, there you go. Wow. I didn't miss out.
It must be nice to have your job be just like one big game.
Well, kind of, yeah. Like, It's not one, it's two.
Yeah, it must be nice to have your job be two games.
And technically, Josh, Adventure Labs and Geocaching, I mean, they are
four games.
There we go. My life load is up, an entire game, Josh.
Load up Pokemon Go. You know what? We should have a whole show. Equal opportunity, Craig.
Yeah,
we should have a whole show about Pokemon Go and bring on a Pokemon Go like a power player.
Yeah, we should. Even though, it'd be good because I'd have questions from a non Pokemon Go player. You see,
yeah,
an old Pokemon Go player, I should say.
Right. A lot is, you know, Pokemon Go is the game has grown a lot, just like Munzee changes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I'd just be curious, like, is it all about gameplay or is it like a lot of location based games? Does it really bring you to some places that you wouldn't go otherwise? And I would argue probably yes. And I would love, I would love to bring on a younger person, like somebody in their 20s that plays.
And not just your relatives.
Yeah. If you're listening, you consider yourself a power Pokemon Go player. And what I mean by that, you do like Pokemon Go Fest and stuff like that. We would love to talk to you. So reach out to us.
Yep. At treasuresofourtownpodcast@gmail.com.
There you go.
So after the Munzee world, again, Josh, we talk about how geocaching and location-based games takes us to unique spots and locations. This one here was extremely, extremely unique. I'll say that.
This was so fun.
Yeah. So I'll set the scene first before you go
for
it. Tangent.
Go for it.
So obviously Josh had all the highly favorited geocaches downloaded, ready to go. So, and we're doing it on, in order as we go along. So the next one itself was like a pirate sort of themed. It was pretty cool. It was like Captain Crazy or whatever. So Josh said, it should be here. And we looked, it was like a strip mall as such. So we parked in the strip mall and we're looking for it, couldn't find it. The guy comes out from the shop. And he looked like a Captain Crazy himself. And he said, if you're looking for the geocache, I've put it inside. So we walk inside. We walked inside and it worked because we didn't know what the inside was, Josh. We had no clue. And we saw the cache, but your eyes and your ears heard the noise. Ding, 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 ding. And I thought to myself, oh, here we go. Because your face just lit up like a pinball machine because it was a pinball parlor.
Oh, my gosh. There were probably, I don't know, I'd say there were over 20 pinball machines.
Oh, well,
lined up.
Yeah.
Maybe more of old school, new school. And then, of course, we had amongst it our old school arcade.
Yep.
They had a wall. You know, like, have you ever gone to like a golf simulator place where you like you hit the golf balls against like a sheet and then it's projected or whatever?
And it kind of shows how far you go.
Yeah. They had those kind of like booths areas, screens, but they had attached to it old school like Nintendo. My favorite Nintendo game of all time was connected to it. Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. So like life size.
I didn't know that was your favorite of all time, but it makes sense now because I'll tell you people that he said like it was $10 each person for an hour's play, which is great pricing, absolutely fantastic pricing. So Josh literally just takes off. He goes, we're staying here for at least an hour. So he takes off and goes in. So then Tim and I pay, and then we had to get these wristbands. And the guy looks at us and goes, where's the other guy? We'd lost Josh. We're like, oh. And I said to the guy, he's heard the music. He's heard the sounds. He's addicted to it. So off he's in there. So the guy actually came into the pinball parlor arcade area to find Josh. Where was he? Dancing and boxing in front of this Mike Tyson boxing match. And he's like, Craig, you said Craig three or four times to me. Like, get this on camera, get this on film, look at this. Oh, do the hero shot. Go around me.
And hero shot, and this guy is thinking
to himself, all I want to do is put this wristband on his wrist to say what time he can stay here till, but here he is. He won't stop moving. So you were like one of those kids. You really went to your childhood, Josh, I do believe.
I didn't need a stinking wristband to play Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. I was all in. And I did pay, but he didn't give me. I was like, here's my $10, bye.
Yeah, you literally threw your $10 at him. And then
it's like, here's, bolted. Here's my 10 bucks. Here's my 10 bucks. My hour starts now.
Yeah. And you bolted in. So, Josh, I'll tell you though, to watch your smile on your face and the joy in your eyes and the gleam, I can now see what your parents saw, you know, when you were 10, 12 years of age, et cetera, yeah. And, you know, having so much fun. And from a parent's point of view, mate, I saw you as your childhood and I went, you know what? This kid had a really good childhood. So,
well, the funny thing is, I love what you're saying, but one of the reasons I was so excited about pinball and the reasons I love pinball is I spent a lot of times in my childhood in a bar. as my parents, you know, had a rough day at work. They're sitting at the bar, you know, having a few, and I'm there just hanging out and I'm playing pinball.
Very good. Josh, guess what?
What?
I don't know if you remember it or not, but we actually did an audio clip too from inside the Captain Crazy's place. So let's just actually cut to that right now, shall
Perfect.
We?
Perfect.
Craig.
I know, right?
It's so good. You know, the places that geocaching brings you.
Mm-hmm.
We are at a place where we just found a geocache.
You didn't know existed though, let's be honest, because you haven't known this place existed, Josh.
No.
You would have been here much, much earlier.
It's really
for the entire day.
It's really nice in here. We're in Captain Crazy's Paradise, which is, of course, a retro arcade.
And it's part of, in Foley, here in Alabama. So
yeah, Foley, Alabama. And they actually had, I just saw, they had a geocaching event here last Sunday.
Oh, I didn't know
that. Yeah, they had an event here last Sunday.
Oh.
And there's a geocache hidden inside.
Yes.
Captain Crazy's Paradise.
Which we've already obtained.
Which we got. It was a really fun.
But gadget cache. That was pretty cool.
But the thing that really drew me in here was the pinball.
I know. You heard the ding, 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 ding. You heard the flippers, Josh, and your little ears little popped up and your head little snapped off your neck as you switched around and you're like, how much? How much to play?
Only $10.
For an hour.
For an hour. $10 for an hour. $25 all day. I could spend a whole day.
I know. That's I said before.
But it's not just me and you. We have somebody else with us now.
Minnesota boy.
Yeah.
G'day, mate.
Whoa. You know what that means. When we're at a place that's like an arcade, we've done axe throwing in Owensboro.
Yeah.
We've done mini golf.
Yeah.
We've done lots of different competitions.
Lots of different ones.
Tim and I.
Bowling.
Foosball.
Yep.
It's time.
Pinball.
For a pinball competition. We're putting Munzee Zeds on the line.
Munzee Zeds.
Tim, are you a wizard? Are you a pinball wizard?
I am not a pinball wizard.
I played a little bit when I was a young child in a bar when my parents were having a little after dinner or after work drinks, and I played a little bit of pinball. But we're going to play a pinball machine.
Which one are we going to play?
Which one are we going to play?
One that we've not touched yet. Yeah, to make it fair.
None of us have played it. So
we're playing Deadpool.
Deadpool.
What? How do you win at Deadpool? How do you play this?
I don't know. I've never played it. But the person that gets the most points is winning all the Zeds.
All the Zeds. So 1,000 Zeds in total, which is about $10.
All right.
Yeah, so 500 Zeds off each other person. Each person. There you go.
Yep, we're going to come back to you in about 10 minutes.
Here we go.
He's a pinball wizard. That's got to be it.
I was waiting for the song to come out. Yeah. Oh, nice. You got the spot. You got the little sweet spot. So just to let you know, right, as we're going along now, and player two, which is Josh, is stepping up. So Tim's now done 3 balls at $6.5 million. Craig's done 2 balls at $5.5 million. And Josh has done 2 balls at $29 million.
$29 million.
So you can tell.
This was a setup.
You can 100% tell whose idea this was to play for Zeds at this location. It was not Craig.
You guys,
and it was not Tim.
I've never played this game in my life.
You don't need to play the game to know how to play pinball, Josh. I got up second, but second place is the first loser, which is fine. 500 Zeds if you're a Munzee player. Don't forget, you can get your Zeds pretty cheap if from Space Coast Geostore with your Cruisies as well. If you're a Cruisie member, you can get them cheaper that way. So
I'm so happy. Now I can finally do the secret Z-ups.
Oh, you're welcome.
give him the final scores, Craig.
We need the final scores.
People
okay.
Need to know how much
in Tim with a score of 6,437,060 points. Wow. Craig on 14,097,850 points. Josh over double my score with 32,888,620 points.
I would like to thank you guys for the friendly competition.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Yeah, and you did. You did. Again, 500 Zeds each from Tim and I. Wow.
Which is only $5.
It's only $5, but still.
But I won $10.
Yeah, I know. So really, you won what you paid to go in there in the first place. So you did it all for free.
I got it all for free. And I guess I might have. I didn't intentionally hustle, but maybe I didn't share with you my experience playing pinball as a child.
I don't think so. Although I should have known, because I was doing more of recording than playing, and I watched you, and the way you were moving, you move your hips, Josh. You kind of a little bit like what's his name? Not Patrick Swayze, but more of Elvis sort of style. Uh-huh. As you hit those pins and the flippers go side to side, literally your shoulders move and your hips move in the other direction at the same time. You balance yourself out as you hit the flippers, so your body is always in fully balanced sequence. So I thought to myself, this guy, I should have known, this guy can play. So
yeah, I'm a little bit of a pinball wizard. He's got to be. Sorry. That place was awesome. I love that place. Put my sticker. Here's the thing that's funny about, I'm so glad I brought my geocaching vlogger stickers. I brought the Treasures of Our Town stickers. Everywhere you go, people just stuck stickers places.
Everywhere. Yeah. There was sticker walls.
So I stuck my sticker on the wall at, and let's just say it again, shout out.
Yep.
Go. If you're in Gulf Shores, and this is Foley, just north of there, Captain Crazy's Paradise.
Yep, that was the name of the place. But again, it was really dark, and the front of the windows were all blackened out, so you couldn't really tell unless you Google it and go there. Then you don't really, or you're a geocacher and you want to do the cache there. That's a different story too. So that was the pinball parlor, Josh. Mm-hmm. After that, we did a few more caches, but we headed to a pirate event.
Yeah, this was when people really all came out in pirate gear, and I'll be real, we got a little distracted by Captain Crazy's Paradise. Josh, we showed up late.
Josh who got distracted? Don't say
we. I got distracted. There you go. Come on. You played the full hour too. I know. Well, come on. You were enjoying yourself just as much.
I was doing a lot of video work, yeah.
That's true. You were working. I wasn't. Okay. We were late. We were late to the pirate event, and it was a really cool location. Like this roadhouse, this bar was on the water.
Mm.
And this is a place, this bar, I really kind of, this is a regret. I really wish we would have spent more time there and been there longer because it was like this, it was kind of a rustic roadhouse. It's a place where a bunch of pirates would hang out.
Oh, 100%. It was very pirate themed as well. And don't forget, there's actually a geocache in the bar.
Like yeah, that was cool.
On the wall, there's a geocache hanging on the wall that when you open it up, it's a pirate theme. There's a mannequin head in there with an eye patch, etc. There was lots of skeletons, Josh, but one of my favorite skeletons that I did see hanging up on the as you walk in were two mermaid skeletons. Did you see those? You shook hands with one of them. They had the tail. They had the whole thing. And they would look like real, actual skeletons. So, it's extremely – they had the fish nets everywhere. They had, plastic fish. And they had – we call them in Australia, we call them boys. You call them buoys. They had them hanging around as well. So, extremely pirate themed.
It was
awesome.
And
there was a few pirates still left at the event. Even when we got there, why? So at this event, Josh, they had, again, hosting these side events that they did before the big event itself was fantastic. They did it 10 days beforehand, Josh. 10 days of events beforehand leading up to.
That's so many. That's so many. Awesome.
And they're all different themes. So this one was more pirate themed, but this one, they actually gave out prizes for the best dressed female pirate, best dressed male pirate, and Josh, my favorite, the drunken pirate. Yes, they gave out an award for the most drunken pirate there.
I don't know if we ran into that person.
We did.
We did? Okay. We'll have to talk about that off air.
I think she did one of your favorite caches too there. So that Jay Birch. So
okay.
Yes, she was there as well. So
that was, And if you go to Bamarama next year, which you should.
You should.
I here's my recommendation is that you show up when it starts or before, because it seems to me, Craig, that people kind of go in, do their thing. They go hard at the event from the start to whatever. And then, if the event says it's 4:30 to 6:30 and you think that you're showing up at 6 in the full, like
swing
everything. You're gonna miss. You're gonna miss some stuff.
Yeah, show
so
up.
So you got to show up when it starts. Yes. Don't think that it's like it's not like an open house where I can show up anytime and have the same experience. No, I would suggest that you start. That was just a part of their, I think, geocaching culture that I didn't know. And so,
and I think as well, the main reason for it, Josh, I'll be honest, is that the demographic of geocaches are sort of, you know, we're on the younger side of the demographic, and knowing what we know in terms of how many people show up on time for parties, the younger ones, young, they show up late. The older ones, they show up on time or early. So, you know, so it just goes to show that that's the reason for it is because of the demographic of geocaches. So,
you want to be on time for these events.
You do. So and after that pirate event, we're quite hungry, again, famished.
Oh my gosh.
Another place.
Because we were like searching places to go.
Yeah, but I'll tell you now, this next place was also told to me personally by another one of our Patreons. Tivia.
You gotta love the patrons. Thank you.
Tivia. Yeah, Tivia. Tivia told me about this Lambert's Cafe. This is the day before you arrived. She told me about this Lambert's Cafe, and she said, like, you know, if ever you guys are free, and I said, look, I'm gonna have to talk to Josh when we are free, etc. Because again, I didn't realize. But yeah, then you picked out this Lambert's Cafe, and they have thrown rolls. Josh.
The home of the throne rolls.
What's it? Is that like a roan that's been knighted and is a king and queen of thrones? No. And king of queen of rolls? They're on a throne? What's the throne roll?
No, they throw just baked hot rolls. Jeez. To you. They actually chuck them.
Chuck
throw
them. From a distance, from afar.
From like across the room. And you catch them.
Well, Josh, we also did an audio clip as well from the Lambert's Cafe. We did an audio clip from Lambert's Cafe.
Oh, let's listen to it.
No, we won't listen to it, Josh. We're going to throw to Lambert's Cafe.
Yeah, let's throw it over there to the Lambert's Cafe.
Whoa. Oh.
Man.
I think we just had our best meal in the Gulf Shores.
Would you call this a restaurant, Josh? Where actually are we?
We're actually at a cafe.
Yes.
But it's also a restaurant.
Yep.
It's Lambert's Cafe. Tim, Minnesota boy, is here with us still. Yes. And you said that you've heard of this place before.
I've seen it online, but I didn't know it was down here. But when I saw the sign with the throwed rolls.
Throwed rolls.
What is throwed rolls? I was like, I don't know what that means. Do they throw them before they cook them? I don't know what. Or bake them?
Tell us, Tim, what's throwed rolls?
But now you know.
I do know now.
They come out, and they just say, hot rolls.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you put your hand up, and a guy will whip it to you across the room.
Did you get whipped with a hot roll, John?
Yes, several times.
Yeah.
I caught three of them. Mm-hmm. I dropped one. It wasn't my fault.
Yeah. It never is,
It would have been a great save.
It was very low.
Yeah.
Where did you caught yours, Tim, as well. I only had one, but I caught my one. And you know what, Tim? I was happy with catching just the one.
Yeah, we're one for one.
We are. One for one, we're happy with that.
I'm going to put a highlight reel of the caught rolls on my TikTok.
But anyway, the throwed rolls are just one part of this experience here.
They also have the shareables, and they just keep walking around and offering you more food, like potatoes,
vegetables. In these big silver buckets.
Yeah.
Black-eyed peas.
And every time the black-eyed peas came around, I went, I got a feeling. Oh,
of course, yeah, that's it.
That tonight's going to be.
No, thank you. There we go. See?
See?
Yeah.
We see, just got offered macaroni and tomato. But
yep, but we're full. I had the chicken fried steak. Oh, my gosh. It was so tasty. And guess what? I got out of here. My total bill for pretty much unlimited food was $23.
And that's an unlimited drink as well. We had is it a gallon it's like of soda?
It's like a big gulp.
Big gulp of soda.
So, yeah, if you're in the Gulf Shores area, or actually Foley, I think we're at, more Foley than
Alabama.
The Gulf Shores in Alabama, you need to get here to Lambert's Cafe for the throwed rolls.
Absolutely.
It's delicious.
Oh my gosh, that was so fun and so tasty.
It was. I'll say this, Josh, my catch when I caught that roll itself, I didn't realize until after, because we filmed ourselves doing it too, and those videos are online. I didn't realize mine actually hit, it went through a flag. It went through
there's the flags. That's right. There's flags hanging from the ceiling and hit the flag. Did that stop the trajectory of the roll? No. It's the guy that was throwing it. He knew he was going to hit the flag. So he just threw it a little bit harder to get it to you.
And I got it off the lip of the seat next to me as well. So that was pretty cool. Then
if
Josh,
you want to see that, you have to go to TikTok, YouTube, or Instagram, and you can see all three of us catching rolls.
Exactly. I will say this as well, Josh. You, I don't know what. So you are an influencer per se. But this night, okay, just to give you an example, this night Josh wanted a good video of him catching a roll. So instead of him just catching it from the seat, no, he kind of gets up and has to move around because there was a guy standing in between him and the rolls. So he had to get up and he's put his hands in the air, he's like, throw it to me, throw it to me, throw it to me. And so as Josh moves around, the whole restaurant literally almost goes for a full dive to the right hand side to catch this roll. All these kids, I'm talking four, five, six kids, watched him do that. So when you got back to the table, Josh, I'm not sure if you saw or not, you got back to the table. All of a sudden, five or six kids jump off their seats and start running crazily around, getting rolls chucked to them left, right, and center. You're a bad influence, Josh, a bad influence.
I was doing literal, like, because I couldn't get his attention, I was doing, like, literal football routes.
Oh, is that what it is?
I was like, on three. Yeah, I was like running back and forth in the end zone, basically, to get the attention.
Oh,
and then you're right. The kids were like, that looks fun, Daddy.
Yeah.
I'm going to go get up and catch a roll.
But they didn't say that. They just did it. So that was delicious. And I will say, again, shout out to Lambert's Cafe. There is actually three in the U.S. itself. This is only the one in Alabama. But there's two others up north in Missouri. So if you're ever near those areas, get to a Lambert's Cafe as well, especially if you're carb friendly and you love a good – those rolls, Josh. Those rolls are delicious. Like hot.
I enjoyed the food. I enjoyed the food. It was a good change up from seafood.
Yeah, exactly. I think you and I had the same thing again, to be honest with you. But
chicken fried steak is what I had.
Oh, no, I did. I had something different. That's right. I had the
fried chicken.
So you had chicken fried steak. I had the fried chicken. So we didn't do it.
With gravy. It's getting.
And just to let people know as well, they come around with the foods in the bowls for free, like as all different sides for you as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
It was great. So then we move on to the Saturday.
We went to a food coma and went to bed.
Then we did. We absolutely did. Even though Tim got a box takeaway, I don't know if he finished it or not, but anyway, poor Tim. We're Saturday, Josh, on the next day with the big event day. Saturday.
Finally, we're at the main event of Bama-rama on Saturday.
Yeah,
but we didn't go there first.
No, not at all.
So we had heard from San Marcos, our buddy.
That's right.
We heard from San Marcos that there was a really special adventure lab that he felt would be great for video. And it was, adventure labs don't have GC codes. That's unfortunate. No.
Yeah.
But it was something about, I think it was called like, I'd have to look. It's called Wacky Things or something.
Yep.
Wacky, wild, large stuff. I can't remember. And I should look it up. I don't remember the name. There was a name for the area.
Yes.
Do you remember the name for the area?
No, Greg? It was a marina. It was a marina of sorts.
Yeah, it was a marina, and it was a road that went down to the marina.
Yeah.
And if you just do a quick Google search on Gulf Shores Lady in the Lake, you'll find it.
Yeah. Or believe it or not, Bama Henge is actually listed on Google as well.
Okay. Bama Henge is there. And the two big features were Bama Henge and Lady in the Lake. I apologize. We don't know the name of the area. But that is important because we want that place to still be open. Rumor is that they want to close this area off to geocachers.
I know. I don't know why. Like,
which would be a shame. I don't think they like people parking on the side of the road leading up to it.
Oh, but that could
are
be
you good. Kidding me? When we explain what's there, why wouldn't you expect people to come and see?
Exactly.
Doesn't make sense.
You built it. They're going to come. Like
exactly. So to describe this, it was a 10-stage adventure lab, which is just really exciting because that's 10 finds. Most adventure labs are 5. This is 10.
10, yep.
They must have created this last year for the event because they give adventure lab credit, 10-stage credits to mega event hosts.
Yeah.
But it was just like – imagine, like, you know, we love our roadside attractions, and actually, like, when we do our roadside attraction March Madness next year, I would say that maybe one or two of these will be in the running for next year.
That's a possibility. That is a big, big possibility. Absolutely.
So,
yep.
Basically, it's 10 sort of roadside attractions. Let's just ping pong back and forth what we saw.
Well, firstly, we saw Bamahenge. Now, Bamahenge, what's Bamahenge?
You know
Stonehenge. Yes. It's exactly the same as Stonehenge, but someone's made it because it's in Alabama or Bamarama. So they've made it out of these, what was it, plastic of some sort of fiberglass. But it's the same. Something. It's almost, I think it's the same size, Josh.
Yes, to scale.
To scale size.
I mean, I've never been to Stonehenge, but I imagine that's how big it is.
Yeah, so do I. And they're shaped exactly the same, put in the same directions. I don't know whether it's done by aliens or not, this one, but, you know, it's a possibility. Or it could be done by Alabamians. So,
really, really unique. I mean, the fact that they found an area big enough to put this thing was impressive.
But there was a pull-off for that one. So you could actually pull off the side of the road and there was a parking bay for that one. So then you walk through that and you find that. After that, Josh, there was
a beautiful statue of a woman, it was almost like a Greek goddess.
And then there was pillars around her in a circle.
Yeah, so it almost looked like we were in Rome.
Yes, yeah, yeah. We walked to it, so we roamed our way around. But then better than that, you've got not one, two, three, four, but five in total. Mm-hmm. Dinosaurs.
And they're big.
Yes, they're big.
We had a T-Rex. We had a Brontosaurus. We had a Triceratops, which I forgot the name of when we were there.
You did.
And a Stegosaurus, I believe.
Yes, that's the ones. So they were not life-size, but almost. They're bigger than us, bigger than humans.
Oh, they were big. But they probably weren't life-size, but they were big. Life-size. It was really – and it was cool as I look back on the video. And by the way, there is a great video, not only myself, but Minnesota Boy.
Yeah,
both made a video. By the time this podcast is out, you'll get to see it. Mm-hmm. Like the area, like when I look at the video, I looked up at the T-Rex and the trees behind it. It literally looked like, I don't know, prehistoric times. The trees behind it looked really kind of real. It was really cool.
We were focused on the actual dinosaurs themselves. We didn't actually notice the background. That's another perfect idea in regards to footage of these places, so you can get the whole experience. Yes. And then we walked down to the marina itself. And in the marina, we walk around the marina, do a few more. There was a big metal spider, Josh, that I had to tame as well.
Actually we missed. There was a physical cache there that we missed.
Oh, there was too.
After the fact, there was a really cool fountain too that had the Neptune, the god of fountains,
the goddess. I did hear that on your video. You call it, it's Neptune, and you're like,
the god of fountains.
It was
beautiful.
But this all led to the ultimate roadside attraction / weird things in America.
She's going to be in the running, I think, next year.
She will be in the running.
If I don't nominate her, you probably will nominate her.
I'll let you have her.
It is Lady in the Lake.
Yeah.
Lady in the Lake, which is, imagine the something the size of the Statue of Liberty.
Yep, yep.
Sitting in a lake without her crown.
Nope.
Sitting in the lake with her her shoulders and above and her head hanging out and her knees hanging out of the water like she's taking a bath in the lake.
That's right. Yeah, perfect example, Josh. Yeah, exactly. So all you can see is her knees and her top of her torso and head.
Yeah, and they say her face looks like either Sarah Evans, the country singer, or Catherine Zeta-Jones. I looked at a picture of Sarah Evans because I was curious, and she does. I'd say close to Sarah Evans. It's humongous. You had to get go out on the dock to get the right angle.
Yeah,
to see her in her glory.
Because you can actually see her. If you get the right angle, Josh, you can see her face through the center of her legs, just saying.
Yeah.
It sounds better, worse than what it probably actually looks like. But, you know.
It was just, I've never seen anything like it in my life.
No.
And the fact that they just put her in the, I guess she got pretty banged up during the last hurricane, but they fixed her.
They fixed her up all right. She looked fine for me. That's exactly right.
So. But, you love your baths, Craig.
I do. And that kind of reminded me, and that's what I miss most about being on the road. There's no baths, but anyway.
You're a bath connoisseur.
I am a bath. I'm a bath bro. After we saw the lady, we then hit the Bamarama mega event itself.
I'm sorry. I almost skipped it. I'm sorry, because I looked at the notes. I looked at something else. Yes, we did. Yes.
Yeah.
And here's something interesting about this. Every, you know, you and I have been to so many mega events.
So many.
Every mega event has its own vibe.
Yes.
Has its own style. Yes. Geo Woodstock is a type of event where people go to the event and they pretty much, I think, because there's so many people there and it's the opportunity to connect with people, a lot of people, not everybody, a lot of people stick around. And it's really a social event.
It's a one-day event.
Yeah. And other events like West Bend Cash Bash in West Bend, Wisconsin. Like the mega event really almost only lasts like a couple hours when everybody comes back to like see who won the prizes.
Oh,
but during that event, everybody's out cashing.
Yep.
This one, Craig, I think to best describe it, is sort of a hybrid of that. This event had so many, and when I mean so many, I mean a lot of adventure labs that were, they used their adventure lab credits throughout the town to have physical caches. Physical birdhouses, like every 30 feet on the downtown of, I think it was Alberta. Alberta, is that right?
Alberta. Yep, Alberta, yeah.
Of Alberta. Right. Yep. Yeah. There were these beautifully painted birdhouses, like a Van Gogh painted one. And you opened them up, and then when you opened them up, you answered the question on the Adventure Lab app. So it was just a really cool way to stack geocaches throughout the town.
As you know, the actual adventure labs themselves, if people aren't aware, physical geocaches have to be 527 foot or 181 meters apart from each other. But these being adventure lab types, they can literally be stacked on top of each other. It makes no difference. Yes. There's no actual radius.
Yes. So we're at the event at the park, and it's a little sparse, and I know why. Yeah. Everybody's out in this little town geocaching. So this is like when we say geocaching, this is a geocaching event where most people were out finding all these adventure labs. And we're talking like you had an opportunity. There were physical ones that they built, but there were also questions. You could find over 100 in this little town.
Yeah.
Couldn't be more than 2,000 people live in this town.
It was a small town. It was probably less. Town. Yeah.
You can find over 100, you can get 100 finds.
Easily.
Just from adventure labs.
Yeah.
And a lot of merch, you know, again, temporary for the event. So most people, when we were in the park, we looked at each other, Craig, we were like, where is everybody?
And even to the point, though, I do like that when you do check in, number one, we used the feather. We used the feather as the sign in again, like a quill.
That was nice.
That was nice. That was a nice touch. But they gave you like a thing to go around to each of the sponsors, et cetera, that were there, and you had to get a sign off. So literally, you had to visit every single person or vendor that was actually there to get them signed off. So you go into like another prize draw. That was a scavenger hunt within the actual event, which is what I liked as well, mate.
Yeah. That was really fun. There was one of the stages for that scavenger hunt was a trackable birthday cake, or not birthday cake, a trackable cake.
Cake, yes.
A woman had made a pirate ship cake, and they made it trackable.
Cool. And that trackable is actually in your video too, and it was okay because I got San Marcos' approval because he said no, it's locked anyway. So
it's already eaten, but you can. But you can discover it.
Yeah.
So, and then I personally had a cool little adventure because before the event, I was tipped off that there was a special trackable in Minnesota.
That's right.
There was a special trackable in Minnesota that if you brought it to Bamarama, you got an exclusive coin that they only made 50 of.
Wow.
And so I got tipped off. I found it. There's a full video of this whole thing.
Yep, yep.
And I brought it to San Marcos. And did he give me the coin?
No.
He gave me coordinates
that were
to
off.
Go find the coin. So I went off in the woods to find it. And let me say the cords were off a little bit. It took me a little bit longer than it should have probably. And I found a treasure box and it had the coin in it.
Yeah.
A full treasure. And I found it. I went back to San Marcos and he let me keep the treasure box.
That's pretty cool. He's such a cool guy. But anyway,
you
were only one of three that actually found those coins too, or that trackable. Right. So one of three, Josh. That's it. One of three in the world. That's what you are. See, there you go.
It was cool. It was a great event.
Mm-hmm.
I love the variety of types of mega events. You know, in our community, the geocaching community. I recommend. It's such a unique area.
Mm.
And it's like, to me, it's like this area has kind of like a Florida vibe in that the shore is right there, right?
Yeah.
The sea is right there. But different than Florida, it has more of a Southern vibe.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like the South.
The South, yeah. Yeah.
Like home cooking South.
Yeah.
And so it's a really unique, it's an area that has a really unique mix that I had never experienced before.
Yeah.
It's kind of Florida. It's like if Florida and Louisiana had a baby and maybe add a little Texas in there like that.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like. It was unique.
Temperature, weather was great as well. And when it comes to the South, I find this, and I found this in my recent sort of travels in general, Josh, as well. When I'm talking about the South, I've never been to a place where I'm at a restaurant and I'm just a check, please, and you got to pay the check. And they say to you, would you like a water to go? I'm like, oh. they hydrate you well. Like, apparently that's a very Southern thing when they offer you more drink to go, either, you know, Dr. Pepper, whatever you're drinking, or if you're drinking water, would you like a water to go? So there you go.
Makes sense, especially in the summer months, probably.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Before we move on from Bamarama.
Yeah.
Bamarama 2025 is happening. It's a little earlier. Don't have the dates in front of me, but you know what, people? You have Google. You can figure it out.
Or it's on your video as well.
Yeah. Bamarama 2025. It's in February. Mm-hmm. I think it's mid-February.
Yeah.
And they do a great job. You could spend, this year they had 10 events, 10 days, 10 mm-hmm. events.
10
like
days.
You could go early.
Yeah. Yep.
You can stay later. And the theme this year is board games.
Yes.
So board games. With the main event's theme is Monopoly. So
that's really cool.
They do a really good job. Like, they go all out down here. They dress up.
They do.
Sometimes geocache events are like, this is the theme, but it's loose. No, they go hard on the theme.
Yeah, they do. They do. Everyone involved in the actual mega, the whole committee itself, they really do pull together a great job. And definitely, if you've got time off in that area, or if you're retired or whatever, I'm going to say, Josh, go down for 2 weeks. Go down and start the whole 10-day experience of their 10-day lead-up events, and then stay a couple of days after. Because even after the mega event, they have CETO events, you see. So you can clean up the town after you finish. So, you know, giving back
make a mess of it.
Make a mess of it. You got to clean up. Giving back to the town, you know what I mean? That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Their Southern hospitality was in full effect, which is, you know, us Northerners, you know, we don't get to experience that as much. You know, we're Minnesota nice.
You're Minnesota nice.
But the Southern hospitality, it's next level.
Exactly. And then speaking of Southern, Josh, again, we were famished after our big day at the Bamarama Mega. And what better place to go if you're famished to eat some delicious brisket on the board as at Bucky's.
This is the second Bucky's I've ever gone to. And I know you had already been, so you were generous enough to let me go. I think Tim, who was traveling with us, Minnesota boy, he was like, I felt like he was like a little skeptical.
He was, because he thought,
was like, I don't know if I want to go
for dinner. Like, what the?
It's so, he's like, I want to go somewhere where we can sit down and eat. And he had never experienced Bucky's before.
No,
but let me just say, after he went there,
mm-hmm.
I think he was a believer.
Oh, 100%. He's converted now. He's converted.
He's got the hat.
Yes, he does.
He's got the shirts.
Yes, he does.
We did have our meal on a hood of our car.
He got a Bucky too, Josh. He actually got a stuffed Bucky too.
Probably for his grandson.
Yeah. Well, we don't know that for sure. You never know, Tim. It's
I think he made a video of it. Mm-hmm. Like,
yep.
Like, it just it kind of cracked me up. I was like, you know, before I went to Bucky's, I was a little bit like, oh, Bucky's, it's a gas station. And then we took him, and I think he was like a kid in a candy store.
You saw, Josh, what I saw when I first took you to Bucky's.
Yeah. So. Totally.
And just to let you know now, as I said before, I'm in Tennessee right now on the border of Virginia. Yesterday, Josh, I went to two separate Bucky's in one day. Wow.
They're growing. It's no longer going to be just a South thing because get this, Craig. Get this. Yeah. They're building a Bucky's in Wisconsin.
Yes, I heard that. I heard, Josh, they're building a Bucky's in New Jersey.
It's going to take over.
But in saying that, I said as well, if they're going to build a Bucky's in New Jersey, Josh, as we know, if you don't know, Bucky's huge. There's like 100 gas pumps in every single Bucky's store, minimum 100 gas pumps. It is huge. Josh, in New Jersey, you can't pump your own gas. It's illegal.
Oh, my gosh.
So are they going to have 50 attendees?
Probably.
Probably. They pay them well, too, because they're always looking for workers. And, you know, the prices of workers, they were well paid.
I mean, it's just an opportunity for them to, like, show their amazing customer service. I mean, correct. The bathrooms in Bucky's, some of the cleanest gas station bathrooms you'll ever see, because they got people that are cleaning them constantly.
Yeah, you walk out of them. I felt bad, Josh, yesterday. I walked out of the bathroom after, you know, my morning coffee, I'll just say that, and the guy walked straight in like to clean it after I've been in there. I was like, oh, you poor guy, like, you know, no,
they don't mask around.
No breathing apparatus or anything, like, anyway. So Bucky's, and again, big shout out to Bucky's. If you haven't been to one, try to get one when you're in the South or that sort of area, anywhere.
Okay. Find a Bucky's. So the show's getting long, but that's okay.
It is. It's okay. It is what it is.
That's okay. So here's the thing. By this time, Saturday night, I'm tired.
Yeah, you are.
I'm tired. Good. You're tired.
I was in the back seat half asleep. I was having little kips.
Tim is driving.
Yeah.
Tired. Maybe not as tired, but he's driving.
No, he's driving.
And from the beginning of the trip, before we left, I knew about this guy named Brandon Giles. Mm. Now, a little bit of history. Over my childhood, I've always been a huge fan of Jerry Lee Lewis. Now, if you don't know who Jerry Lee Lewis is, whoa. Jerry Lee Lewis, Great Balls of Fire.
Yep.
Whole lot of shaking going on. Back in the 50s, they were thinking that he was going to be the next king of rock and roll after Elvis. Because, you know, Elvis went to the military. So, like, Jerry Lee Lewis can be the next king of rock and roll. You know, Sun Records, all the whole things.
Yeah.
This guy, I don't know. The spirit of Jerry Lee Lewis is in this man.
Oh, 100%.
Like, I wouldn't say he's necessarily a tribute artist, because he's not trying to, like, necessarily sound like Jerry Lee Lewis.
No, or mimic him at all.
Or necessarily, but the spirit of Jerry Lee Lewis, this guy, he's got the long blonde hair.
Yes.
His instrument is a piano.
Yep.
And let me tell you, when I say he plays a piano, he plays Great Balls of Fire, and he starts the piano on fire.
Yeah.
Like, there's videos out there. And I saw these videos on YouTube the trip. And by the way, when I was young, there's a video of this out there. You can maybe find it in the show notes. When I was a child, I 13 years old, I did a lip sync contest in my small town where I was Jerry Lee Lewis. I started the piano on fire.
Did you win, Josh?
I did win. Of course I won. I did win. But anyway, so Jerry Lee Lewis has always been important to me. So when I saw videos of this guy, even before the trip, I was like, I really want to go. But at the time when we were at the end of Saturday night, like, I was so tired. I was literally thinking, I don't know if I want to go.
Yeah, you had second thoughts. And I'll be honest, I had second thoughts as well, because, again, I was tired. But I always thought to myself, push through. We'll get there. Yeah. And even you said, we'll get there. And even if we just listen to one song, if we're all still tired, we'll just go.
Right. Because it was back at the Floribama.
Back at the Floribama. And it was back in the bra, the brassiere room, like where all the bras were hanging off the ceiling. And yes, you could overlook him. And Josh, he plays the keyboard that hard that he broke a couple of the keys.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so he was that hard.
So we walk in and he's playing like an original. It's okay. He's cool. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
And, but I'm at that point, I think I looked, I looked at you and Tim and I was kind of like, okay, it's cool. I saw him, whatever. So then we go up and we get a, go up to the bar and get a drink.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I hear it.
Yeah.
And he starts playing a whole lot of shaking going on.
You
and I go, guys, can you get my drink? I'm going to go down because I don't want to miss this.
Josh, just to let you know how you said before, he starts the piano on fire for Great Balls of Fire. You lit up like a fire, but behind you as you dove down those stairs to watch him play the song. So
the guy, okay, go down there. The guy, he's amazing. He's so talented. And I imagine if Jerry Lee Lewis, like when he was up and coming, this is the venue. This is like, it's gritty and it's a roadhouse.
Yes.
And the dude is, okay, he's upside down. He's playing he's on the chair.
He's vaping.
He's vaping, blowing smoke in the air in between the guy. He's doing literal acrobat. He's probably in his 50s.
Yeah.
Guy was in good shape.
He was.
For
he
being
was
in his 50s.
Yeah.
And it was just an amazing performance. We didn't stay for one set. We didn't stay for two sets. We stayed for all three sets. Craig is dancing. You're dancing. You're shaking. You're shimmying.
Oh,
you were having the time of your life. There was a whole lot of shaking going on.
Yeah.
You were having, it was so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say a real highlight of this trip. I'm so glad I went.
Yes, yeah. And I'm so glad that you dragged us along too, to be honest with you, Josh. Because again, really like you, we were tired. We didn't, I thought I'll go, I'll have one drink and then, but then you get it. It's addictive. He as a performer is addictive. You can't not watch him and not move. And if you're deaf, Josh, you still move because you're watching him. He's a performer in every sense of the word.
Yeah, so, a real performer.
Brendan Giles.
If you're down there, if you're down to Gulf Shores for any reason, look up the Brandon Giles or the Brandon Giles Band. He plays probably 3 or 4 times a week in different locations.
Different locations around. But when he plays at Floribama, to me, that was
it's the perfect room, perfect location for him.
Exactly.
I was only one disappointment. He ended his show with Great Balls of Fire, and he couldn't. I don't think he could find the lighter fluid.
He was looking for it.
And so he couldn't. So he didn't start the piano on fire.
What he did instead, though, Josh, he actually picked up the whole piano, the whole keyboard, picked it up, and on the underside, it had "Thank You" written on it. It's like, wow.
I know. I think he does that regardless, even if he starts it on fire. But it was so cool.
It was so.
I tipped him on Venmo too, and when you tip somebody on Venmo, you can put a little note, and I just said, hey, I one of the reasons I came down, wanted to come down here was to see you, and he's like, oh, I really appreciate that. He's like, I should have got you up on stage to do a little Jerry Lee with me.
Oh, geez. I knew. There's always a method to your madness, Josh. You love the stage. So that night, Josh, we were then buggered. We were tired and had a good night's sleep that night.
We enjoyed the Eagle Cottage cabins and they were just really nice. And I don't remember how much we talked about them on the previous episode, but they were great, brand new, so new that, you know, that there was some stuff that, you know, they need a little bit more shelving. It was so fresh. So new. They were rumoring that we were the first people that had like stayed in that cabin.
Yeah.
But I mean, really, we could have spent the whole weekend just there and had a lot of fun at the at the Gulf Shores State Park. And we actually, Craig, talked to one of the people that worked there and talked a little bit about the cabins and a little bit about the state park. Should we throw it to that now?
Absolutely.
Just like the rolls, throw it to it.
We are here at the main office of the Eagle Cottages at Gulf State Park, and we are here with somebody that works here. Hello, what is your name?
Hi, I'm Mary Catherine.
Hi, Mary Catherine. We just had a fabulous stay here, but I thought it would be great if we got directly from you,
all that this park has to offer. What do people come here for mostly?
Gulf State Park is really unique. A lot of people come here for a lot of different reasons. As I was just telling them, we've got 28 miles of hiking and biking trails. We've got three different lakes here, Lake Shelby, Middle Lake, Little Lake. But then you also have access to the Gulf of Mexico and beach access as well. We've got 2 miles of beach. People come here for kayaking, trail riding, and then, of course, hitting the beach.
That's fantastic. So it's so cool to have access to all, like, the great food and all the music and all the stuff. But then this is like a little nature heaven right in the middle of it. So that is fantastic. So if somebody is interested in booking one of these cabins, where do they go? Where do they go for that?
Yeah, we've got two different websites. We have our Eagle Cottages website, which is eaglecottages@gsp.com, atgsp.com. And then we have thecabins@gsp.com. So the cottages are our larger properties. Our cabins are a little smaller, but the websites offer both, you know, photos of each kind of property. So you can kind of see what layout works best for you.
And of course, Josh, all of these links are going to be in the description, just saying.
Of course. And I just told you that there are hundreds of geocaches here. So our challenge to you is to find one of them. There's probably one just like right outside this office. Well, and she didn't even know it.
We found it. Remember? It was a D5.
Ooh, there's a tough one over there.
There's a tough one over there.
It was really hidden well.
It's in the trees.
So,
it's in the trees?
Yes.
So, am I going to have to climb it?
No.
Okay.
But it's tricky. Thanks so much for talking to us. Thank you for an amazing stay. Again, Gulf State Park. What a treasure.
Eagle Cottages, an absolute treasure of this town.
Yes.
And you know what, Josh? She's proud.
She's proud of this park. She's really proud. That's a rare thing these days.
I am. There's so much to do here. It's absolutely stunning. It's, you know, you have the lake, you can relax, it's quiet, it's calm. Then you have the beach, a little more hectic, more energetic. Mm-hmm. So it really is able to suit kind of any kind of needs you're looking
for. Exactly. We had a great time. Thank you so much again.
Yeah. Thanks. Thank you for being here and visiting with us.
What a great trip.
It was fantastic.
I just want to say another big thank you to San Marcos for inviting us to experience this event, and also to Kay and everyone at the Visitor Bureau as well for being their hospitality and pointing out some of these really cool locations. I really encourage you to check out the show notes if you visit. We hit a lot. We were able to hit a lot in 4-ish days.
Yeah.
But we didn't hit everything. So we could certainly go back and visit again.
And I think we will, Josh, to be honest with you. Next year, 2025, we may be back there again. I'm hoping so. That would be cool. And it's really cool as well, Josh. We had a few Patreons there. And I missed out as well. We had another Patreon there as well. Oh, what's his name now? I totally forget his name again every single time. We met him at the mega event. And
Terrell?
Yes, Terrell.
Terrell 2,
that's it. That's the one. And the reason why I say this, Josh, and a big shout out to him, is he sought me down because I had a bag of trackables. If you're not a geocacher, trackables are just like little hidden things that they can go from cache to cache to cache, and the owners of the trackables can see their journey. So I had this bag of trackables, Josh, and one of the trackables was his actual trackable that he dropped somewhere. I think it was in Hawaii or somewhere like that. And it had traveled all over the US. And so now he's like, okay, now I want it back. And he looked and it was in my hands. So he sought me out and he said, do you have my trackable? And I did. I went, here it is. He's like, look at that. There it is there. And then he's trying to explain to me how he does his trackables so they don't go missing, et cetera, as well. So, yeah, big shout out to you, Terrell, too, mate. And you're welcome for your trackable to be returned to its rightful owner. So, Josh, if you want to be a Patreon, what do they do?
Yeah, if you've been enjoying this podcast, we would really appreciate your support. By supporting us, you're helping us create even better content, keep it free for everyone. And there is a lot of costs that come with doing a podcast. There's the hosting fees and all that. And actually, like, some promotion fees. So we have a new bill coming up. We're coming to Geo Woodstock, and we're going to create some promotional materials so we can grow this to make it even better, even bigger, so more people can know about our podcast. So please consider joining us at Patreon at patreon.com/treasuresofourtown. There's several different levels there, and we would really appreciate your support.
We would. We absolutely would. So also, Josh, how can people find us if they want to reach out and contact us?
please reach out to us. Sometimes with a podcast, it's like we're speaking into the void. Right? Who in the heck are we talking to? We know we're talking to people. We see the numbers. We see you're out there. We would love your feedback. We might read your feedback on the show. Mm-hmm. So reach out to us at treasuresofourtownpodcast@gmail.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter /X.
Yes. So that's our show for today. Please subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcasting app. And as always, Josh,
may your travels always lead you to the most unexpected and amazing hidden gems around the world. And hopefully you too can get a roll thrown at you that hits a flag and isn't dusty and is still delicious. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye. We'll see you next time.
Bye.